Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. This is Brian Nugent, and I'm the pastor at Generations Church. Thanks for listening today. We have a guest speaker with us, and we hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Angie Hughes and Paul, would you guys please come to the stage this morning? We're so glad to have them with us. For those of you that don't know, if you're new, Angie is a longtime Generations Church member and attendee, and we sent her out with God's call several years ago to Appalachia and to work and serve there. And she was listening to the Lord, but she also had her eye on someone else during that time. She was unfocused in her call and ministry. So while she's reaching Appalachia, she reached Paul as well, and they do ministry together. And Angie is home for a few weeks just doing some itineration, and we wanted to have her. She's going to take a few minutes this morning and just kind of give an update on their ministry. Would you welcome back to Generations Church, Angie Lambert and Paul?
Thank you, Pastor. Hey, I tell you something funny. We were in Madrid on a missions trip, and he kept saying, I forget the pastor's name, but he kept saying, the Tennessee group. I said, see, Pastor, there's a word right there. I'm going to Tennessee, see? You know, he was telling me to think about it. You know, he was giving me wisdom. Anyway, so I had to share that little tidbit. We're thankful to be here. And, you know, the theme this morning was trust. Trust God. And that is our word for the year. Trust God more. Trust God more. We have been through several life changes, and but the ministry has gone on. We have, through your support and other churches' support, we have purchased a stereo, a portable stereo system, and I got the sound guy right here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He knew that I needed somebody like this that was multitasker and, you know, following my orders and everything. So anyway, God's dealing with me about that, yeah. So, yeah, but he is God's gift, I'm telling you what. He keeps me straight. He really does. He gets that finger out. And says, yeah. But anyway, our pictures, as you can see, are pictures of the kids and what we're doing. We're using outreaches like the church uses. We are doing tea parties, getting to connect with the mothers and the people that are in their lives that directing them mother-wise. And then the boys event was in the fall, and that was our first time doing that. And it was a great thing. And we had kids coming to us saying, oh, Miss Angie, when are you going to do that again for the boys? You know, this was the best thing I've ever experienced. You know, if it was the water hose going, spraying, if I could go into a detailed story about that, oh my gosh, it was, you might just have to come talk to me about it. It was just, we had an accident happened, and, you know, we had the fire truck there and the police and enjoying that, and there was an accident, and they came in, what is it called? The Life Star came in. But, you know, I had somebody speaking that day, and I said, well, you know, we're not supposed to talk about Jesus, but he must have forgot, and honey, he went off after that happened, and they were so in tune. But, you know, it just takes that reaching out in ministry. You know, sometimes it looks messed up like that, but you know what? God uses it, and I'm just thankful to this church for supporting us, and also, you know, my husband works with the fire department as a chaplain, and we go in and do smoke alarms for needy families that, you know, can't afford an alarm, and so I'm just, you know, thankful that we get to do that together. And did you have anything else to say?
I don't know. Hi, I'm the one that keeps Angie straight. That's a full-time job. Now, I'm senior chaplain with the Sevier County Fire Rescue, and pretty soon I'm going to be the fire educator for the kids in the Sevier County schools. So that's a full-time job right there. So That's about it. We do smoke alarms, like you said, for needy families and also the citizens of Sevier County. So be much in prayer for that. That's a great undertaking in there. And then Angie, she does a marvelous job with the kids. I couldn't do it. I work with the school system myself. I'm an RTI interventionalist. For some of you that say, what did he just say? RTI is response to intervention. We help kids with their reading scores. Let me tell you this. We had a child, a second grader, that had a score of 38 last September. And his score went up to 88 in May. That program, I mean, it's... We were able to help him with his reading score, and you thought me, I'm a big guy, but I mean, I started crying because I could not believe that he went that high, but he scored 88, and I was just so thrilled, and I just give credit to God for that, amen. So, but yeah, that's about it.
But we just want to again say thank you. I had Kelly Gray Odom come up to me, you know, and she, when I was teaching music at Evangel years ago, you know, she let me have the floor when it came to Christmas and May, you know. So we've got, she just instilled in me, you know, that I can do it. And I had to trust God more. I mean, my father died this year. I broke my foot playing basketball, pretending, you know, I thought I could play. You know, but God, trust God for more, you know, than you can imagine. And he's, you meet him, he's going to meet you too.
We love Angie and Paul, and we appreciate the work that they are doing in Appalachia. Hey, this morning, we have a wonderful guest with us this morning. And if you are watching online, if you haven't already noticed, the screen will be black. You'll hear the audio for the entirety of the service this morning. We love global workers. We love what God is doing around the world. And there are people that God calls to different and unique places like Appalachia. And there are places that God calls people that are much more challenging environment, even have a little danger attached to it this morning. And if you're watching online today, and if you're in service, we have a guest that we will not mention his name or the place that he's going to serve, because it is one of the most challenging environments that you could ever challenge or could ever serve and work in. And you know, there are people who live in countries associated with great danger in our context that are good people that need to hear the message of the gospel. And unless there are people that are willing to go to these difficult locations, man, they'll never know the good news of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to welcome him to share. At the end of the service, we're going to take a missionary offering as well, and our ushers are going to be at the back door, and or we'll give you the digital information as well. But I want you to welcome, and this gentleman's been a friend and a partner of our church for a long period of time, and I want you to welcome him to Generations Church this morning. Would you come?
Hey, y'all. How are y'all doing? I'm so excited to be here with you guys this morning. Just wanted to say thank you, Pastor. My wife and I, we love this church. You guys have been a part of my journey since the very beginning. I've been working as a worker, as a missionary for almost 9 years now. Unfortunately, my wife is not able to be here with us, but this is her. I always tell people all my pictures and everything look so much better now. we got married back in August, but part of the reason she's not able to be here is because we are expecting our very first little baby. So, yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah. Yeah, she's supposed to arrive in July, the very first week of July. So the doctor was like, "Hey, you better not go away from this hospital." So my wife wanted me to say hello to you guys and greet you all, and just wanted to say thank you. Just to kind of share a little bit about myself. As I said, I've been a worker, a missionary for almost 9 years now. I grew up in a Christian home. I knew about missions. I always wanted to be a part of missions. I knew it was going to be a part of my life. I remember when I was younger, my mom, when she would drive us to school in the morning, she would always say her prayers, and she would pray for our pastor, she would pray for our friends and family, but every single time, she would pray for missionaries. As a matter of fact, to the point where I could name them by name. I knew them all, each time she'd pray for them by name. And so I remember being at a very young age, just realizing the need for missions. But for me personally, I always thought that I would be someone who was going to send people to go, which, by the way, we need those people. But it wasn't until I had a chance to go to a very small country in Southeast Asia. It's a closed country. It's a communist country. My small group leader had invited me, my sister, and some other people, which my sister's here today, me and my sister and some other people to go to this country. And while we're there, we're meeting what we would call unreached people. Some of you may be familiar with the term, but just to kind of give you an example, one of the guys, he had decided to follow Jesus, and he was super excited because he wanted to go and share what he had found with his family back in this village. And while we were there, the missionary that was with us, he said, "Hey, would you guys like to come with us? It'd be a great experience for you to get a chance to see more of this country and get to experience more of it." And we're like, "Yeah, let's go." So little did I know, this was going to be like a six-hour drive through the mountains, some terrible, terrible roads with like potholes the size of school buses. But we're driving, and you know, as I'm driving, I'm looking over the mountain, and there's nothing down below, and I'm like, "You know, God, I'm ready to go, but not today, please." So we get there, we're driving, we're passing by village after village, and one thing about these people is when you see them, they smile. It's the beautiful thing about most Asian countries is just the smile on people's faces. They'll smile, they'll wave. Sometimes if you're the first foreigner they've seen, they'll just stare at you, you know, you get all that. But we get to the village where we're going about 6.5 hours later. We get out of the truck, you know, try not to throw up because it's been a crazy, crazy ride. And we get to our friend's house, and he's going off because he wants to do it by himself. He goes off and starts to share the gospel with his family, what God had done in his life. And while we're sitting there, the missionary with me, he looked at me and my friend and said, "You know, I want you guys to think about this. We've driven here. It's taken us about 6.5 hours to get here. And we passed village after village. We've met all these people. But you know what? Not one person has ever heard the name of Jesus. Not one person will ever meet a Christian. Not one person has access to the gospel." And I remember him looking at me and saying, "You know what? And that's not going to change unless we go and unless we do something about it." And then, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. Jesus means so much to me. We sang about it today, what God has done for us. He sent his own son to come and die on the cross. And it just didn't sit right with me that basically for the past 2,000 years, not one person had left their home to come to this place to share the good news of what Jesus had done. And I believe that Jesus is worthy to be worshiped, and he's worthy to be known by all people everywhere. And that's been my heart, that's been my goal, that's what God has called both me, my wife, and my little baby to go and do, is to share this hope that we have with people who have no access, who have no opportunity to hear the gospel. In a lot of these places, they're unreached, not because they don't want to hear. They're unreached because it's difficult to get to, it's dangerous, and sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone to go there. I'm going to show you the next slide. After meeting my wife, we began to pray. I was working in Southeast Asia and really began to pray and ask God where he would have us to go, and this is the country that he's called us to go to reach. It's a difficult country. They're not super friendly to Christians. They're not super friendly to us. But our heart is to see Christ known, see Christ named where he's not yet been known. And these people, sometimes they've heard the name of Jesus, but they've never had the chance to hear the gospel. Jesus has never walked through their front door. Jesus has never sat at their dinner table. And we have the opportunity, we want to be able to share the good news with the people in this country. As of right now, we're not able to get into the country. I'm sure that's no surprise. But our focus is on going to neighboring countries and seeking out these people, sharing the gospel with them and discipling them and then sending them back in to go and reach their people. We are praying that one day we will have an open door to go into this country and share the good news with them. In this country, it's a part of what's known as the Ancient Silk Road. I don't know how many history people are here. Ancient Silk Road, it was an old road that went from China all the way over to Europe. It was a big major trade center. And our focus is, I'm going to refer to this as Eurasia and the Silk Road in our country, but our focus is on reaching these people. And before I kind of got more into what I wanted to talk about with you guys, I wanted you guys to see some of the faces, hear the story of some of these guys, of some of these people, and see the faces and places of the people that we're reaching. And as you're watching it, I just want to challenge you to just pray for these people, leave your heart open to what God would speak to you. And yeah, we'll pick it up right after that. If we could just play that. Yeah, every time I watch that video, it always kind of hits me whenever I hear the very end where he's talking about it. It's, you know, it's too late for our fathers, but it's not too late for us. And that's what drives us. That's what pushes us forward, is that we know that God wants to reach these people and he wants to use us to reach them, and that it's not too late for these areas. And kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning is these people, they're what we call them, they're lost, but they're not forgotten. And one of our focuses when we're on the field, the way that we reach people, is we do something called broad sowing. And so what we do is we'll pray as a team and we'll ask God, God, where would you have us go today? And wherever God leads us, wherever the Holy Spirit leads us, we'll go out and we'll seek out the people that we're trying to reach. And usually God will just give us a location. But there's one day where our team was together, we were praying and we're asking God, God, what would you have us do today? Where would you have us to go? And one of our teammates said, you know, I'm not really getting a place, but for some reason, God is really laying on my heart the parable of the lost coin. And he said, I don't know why, don't know what's going on, but God's telling me to think about that and pray about that and to be ready to share it. And so that day he left and he went out looking for people and talked to a bunch of different people from our country and was making some connections. But eventually he found this one guy who worked for a company. It's kind of like OnStar, where they, you know, they help you with your car and all these things. And they're talking, and this guy's like, you know, I talk to a lot of Americans. His English was really good. He's like, I talk to a lot of Americans every day. He's like, I don't know what it is with you people, but I get so many calls from people losing their keys. He's like, what is it with Americans and losing keys? And my friend's like, I don't know. You know, we're pretty, you know, we get busy. We don't think about stuff. I can relate. I lose stuff all the time. But as he was talking to him, he's like, you know what? That's interesting you should say that, because I want to share with you a story about someone who lost something. And he goes on, and our people, they love to hear stories. They love parables. They love stories. That's the best way to share the gospel with a lot of these people. And he began to share the parable of the lost coin. And I wanted us to read that together and just kind of really kind of dive into to this story. It's in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Okay, it says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep under the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels, even when one sinner repents. Whenever I think of Luke 15, I really think of our people and of all the people along the ancient Silk Road. Whenever we hear this story, I think sometimes we get kind of immune to the idea of it. This whole idea in Luke 15, there's the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And in each of these stories, it's one of many. With the sheep, there's many sheep and one goes away. Here, there's 10 coins, she loses one. The story of the lost son, there's one son that stays at home, there's one that goes away. And each time in each story, someone goes out to seek it out. Because each of these things is also something that's very, very valuable. And I think that's the point of the gospel. That's the focus of the gospel, that God seeks us out. Jesus was the very first missionary. He was in heaven. He was in his home. He left his home, came down here with us to communicate to us in a way that we could understand and the way that we could comprehend so that we could be reconciled to God. But the reason this portion of scripture really sticks out to me is because for our people, this view of God is very different from anything that they experience. For them, God is something that's so high above them. And it's true. God is really high. If you think about it, he created heaven. He created earth. He's holy. Nothing can be in his presence that's not holy. But for them, the idea that God would seek them out is preposterous. Especially if you think of the story of the lost son. The son goes to his dad and says, you know what? I wish you were dead. Give me my money so I can go somewhere else. I'm done. In their culture, if you were to do that, if my son, if I was Muslim, if he were to come to me and say those things to me, first off, I probably wouldn't give him the money in the first place. But secondly, he'd be done. He'd be dead to me. There's no coming back from that. But here, in these stories, in the parable of the lost coin, in the parable of the son, the father not only looks for his son, but when he sees him, he grabs his robes, pulls him up in a very undignified manner, and runs out and meets his son. Here, this person, she had 10 coins and she lost one. But instead of just being happy and content with the 9 that she had left, she still continued to look out for that one coin. And that's what God has called us to be. For many of our friends in the ancient Silk Road, God is not someone to serve them. God is someone to be served, which is true. But the idea, for example, Jesus washing his disciples' feet, that's unheard of, that God would humble himself, take on the form of a man, and come and die in our place. Not only die, but die a very gruesome and gory death. And our focus is on sharing that good news with us. That is what I love about God, is that God sees and God hears and God seeks us out, even when we're unworthy. Every single person in this room, myself included, we are here not because we found Jesus, not because we chose God, but because he first loved us. He sought us out. He looked where we are. In Matthew 10:29-30, it says, what is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without their father knowing about it? The very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a flock of sparrows. God sees us. I know for some of us, you know, how many hairs we have on our heads, not too hard to figure out. But the point is that God sees us, God knows us. And for many of our people in the ancient Silk Road, the idea that God sees them and hears them is a foreign concept. One of our teammates, they were sharing with me, when I was kind of praying where to go, they were sharing with me about an encounter with someone from our country. And they met him in Armenia, and they were talking to him, and he was about to get on a bus, and they said to him, hey, you know what? We believe that God loves your people, and we're praying for your people. We believe that Jesus really loves you. When the guy heard this story, when he heard them say this, he kind of paused for a second, thought about it, and said, you know what? Don't waste your time. God has already forgotten our people. And he got on the bus, and he left. And I remember when I first heard that story, and it's not an uncommon experience to meet people from our country, and you tell them, hey, we believe that Jesus loves you. We believe that God loves your country. And without fail, people will reply to you. They'll either say, thank you, we feel like God has forgotten our country, God has forgotten us, or they'll say, you know, don't worry, you know, God's already forgotten us, just give up, because we've already given up. There's no hope. There's no idea that there could be something more. And when I think about that, it just really breaks my heart, because we all know that God does not forget us. We just read where God sees us, where God hears us, where God has called us to himself, where he went out of his way to meet us where we are. But for these people, they don't have that opportunity. And I speak on behalf of most unreached people. They have the same feeling. They may not be able to voice it in the same way, because some people don't even know, have a concept of who God is. Buddhist countries, it's totally different. They don't even have a concept of God, or God that, well, they do have a concept of God, but not a God that cares or even sees them. And it breaks my heart, because we know who God is. We know that he seeks us out. And for over, I believe it's about a third of the world, about two billion people in this world today, are considered to be unreached. These people feel forgotten. We know that God doesn't forget them. But what breaks my heart is basically for the past 2,000 years, the church has forgotten them. They're not unreached because God doesn't want to reach them. They're unreached because we're not going out and we're not sharing the good news and the hope that we have. And I don't think that's just because we're terrible people or that we don't care. Because 9 times out of 10, when I talk about unreached people, people in the church care. Something in our heart says, this is not right. The Holy Spirit within us jumps at the chance to go. So the big question is, why? Why don't we go? And I think part of it is we get caught up in our day-to-day lives. I've experienced it myself. You know, just like the seed that fell among the weeds, it, you know, life comes up and just chokes it out of you. You know, it's easy to get caught up with our own problems. All these things seem so big in our face, in our eyes, that we can forget that there are literally billions of people who have never heard the good news of what we have. Another thing that too is sometimes we just don't feel qualified. I mean, I feel that way every day of my life, that I don't feel qualified to go. But can I tell you that you have what you need? The Bible says that the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. God gave us his Spirit. He gave us signs and wonders, miracles. We believe in works of the Spirit. He didn't just give it to us so that we could feel good or so we could see a great show. He gave it to us so that people could know and hear the good news of Christ. When you read the Bible, when you read the Gospels, every time Jesus heals someone, he always says, he either says, go and sin no more, or your sins are forgiven. One of my favorite parts of scripture, when Jesus heals one of the lame people who can't walk, he says to him, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees around are kind of upset because they're like, this guy's not God. What is he doing? But Jesus said, in order that you may know that I can forgive sins, get up and walk. He did the whole purpose of miracles, the whole purpose of the Spirit of God, the whole purpose of what we have as Christians is so that the world may hear. And this is what God is calling us to do. And I think it's easy to forget the needs that are around us. And when I was praying before I came here, and when I was praying on the way here of what God wanted me to say to you, one of the things that God really laid on my heart is to speak to you on behalf of unreached people, to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. And I want to say that we need you. Church, we need you. God has given you so much, and you've been blessed with so much. And I'm not saying that to guilt you or anything. I don't want to do that. But the unreached people, the people that I'm speaking on behalf of, we need you. We need you to come. We need you to share the good news. We need you. If God's calling you to go, please don't stay at home. If God is calling you to stay, then stay, but at the same time, reach people. There's people all around this property, all around this area that need to hear the good news of Jesus. They need what you have. And I think another thing, when I think of some of the reasons that we don't necessarily go, sometimes we can feel overwhelmed. When I talk about, 2 billion people that had never heard, I'm one person. And the task can seem so big, incredibly big. And sometimes my response sometimes is you just want to give up sometimes. It's just too big. It's impossible. Whatever. I'm just going to not think about it. But what I can tell you is, I said before, the same Spirit that lives in God, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And God is calling us to be a part of it. And God promised us that we wouldn't go alone. It is too big for us. I can't do it on my own. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can see people come to know Jesus. We can see God impact the lives of those who have never heard the gospel before. And I want to encourage you that God is at work. It's nothing special that we can do. I remember, especially when I first started being a missionary, I was always felt pressured just to have just the right word, just the right thing to say. But I'm learning more and more that it's just partnering with the Holy Spirit, going where he's going, and sharing and just being available and letting God work through you. In fact, I wanted to share one experience that I had before I left my country, where God just really made this clear to me. My wife and I, we were, again, just praying and asking God where he would have us go in the city where we were at. We were in a country outside of our country. It's an Orthodox country, Orthodox Christian country, and they have these Orthodox churches. And I don't know if many of you are super familiar with a lot of these churches, but sometimes they're more like tourist sites than actual churches. But we had really felt like God was getting us to go to this huge church in the middle of our city. And so me, my wife, and several other people, we went to this church and we're walking around looking for people to share the good news with. And as we're there, we're not finding anybody. I remember just thinking, well, I guess this is just one of those times where we're going to be faithful and we don't see any fruit, but we're just going to trust God with it. Glory to God. We're there and we're getting ready to leave because we've been looking around for about an hour. And I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to walk through the church one more time and just see if we run into somebody. And if we do, we'll just kind of go from there. And as I walk through the church, I don't see anybody. And I step out of the church and I see my wife talking to this guy. He's from our country. And as I approach, I hear him talking about his family, his three girls, and how he wants them to leave from his country to come to this country so that they can have a better life, a better opportunity, better, more freedoms, things like that. And when we finish talking to him, we ask him, hey, can we pray for you? We would really love to pray for you. And he said, oh, yeah, of course, please pray for me. So we pray for him, and as we're praying for him, praying for his family, praying for him, tears just start running down his face. And when we finish, he looks at us and says, guys, it would really mean a lot to me if you guys would come, let me take you to dinner. Please let me take you to dinner. And usually in this culture, sometimes they'll say stuff they don't mean, kind of like we do here in the South. you're like, are you sure you really want to do that? But he was just adamant about it. So we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's meet up. Let's meet for dinner. So me and my wife and one of our teammates, we're getting ready for this dinner, and we're praying and we're asking God, God, give us an opportunity to have a gospel conversation. Because each of these conversations, we're not looking to get to, like, you know, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd go? You know, one of those things, it's like we want to get something started to talk about spiritual things and about Jesus. So we meet our friend, and we're at dinner, and we're having good food. He's buying all the really nice stuff just to show us how much he cares about us, and we're eating everything and having a good time. And one of our friends, our teammate, I don't remember what he said, but I just remember sitting there thinking, that is the most awkward transition I think I've ever heard in my life. It was something about, like, as a Christian, blah, blah, blah. But he was wanting to get started off talking about being a Christian. And it turns out it was actually the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know what I was doing. But as he says, you know, as a Christian, we believe, blah, blah, blah. Our friend Mark, he just stops the conversation, and he goes, guys, I have a secret, but you got to promise me you can't tell anybody. And I'm like, ooh, what's going on here? And he's like, no, you got to promise me you can't tell anybody. And we're like, okay, we promise you we will not tell anybody. What's your secret? And he looks at us dead in the face, and he says, you know what? I want to become a Christian. It's like, but I just don't know how. Can you please explain to me how? And rewind time a little bit. Our friend Mark, he travels outside of our country quite often as a businessman. And every time he leaves the country, he always goes to churches, because in their country, there are none, or if there were, he couldn't go. And he said, whenever he walked into these churches, he said, every time I walked in, he's like, I felt this energy there that I never feel in a mosque. And he said, and today when I went up to that church, I walked through the doors, and he said, I saw a picture of Jesus. And as I looked at the picture of Jesus, he said, my heart just began to break. And he said, and I began to cry, and I lit a candle, and I prayed, and I said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but I don't know the path. Can you please just show me the path? And he said he finished his prayer, walked out the door, and within 5 minutes ran into my wife. And we had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. Yeah, and I remember it was a long process, because he was ready to hear about Jesus, but he did not know what that meant. it's kind of like, you know, I want to, you know, eat lap. If I were to say that for you, it's a food from my country, and you don't know what that is, but you say you want to eat it. So I've got to explain to you what it is. In the same way with our friend, he wanted to hear about what Jesus was, and so we had an opportunity to explain to him. We had to explain to him, hey, you can't still, you know, be okay with, like, Muhammad and all these things, and kind of walking through these things. But through that process, about several months, eventually our friend decided to follow Jesus. He asked to be discipled. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And actually, as of March, unfortunately, we weren't able to be there, but we got a chance to video in, and I have a video of it. But he actually got baptized. And I wanted to share that with y'all. And we don't have any sound, because I don't want the possibility of his voice being heard online. But I remember before he goes down, just the childlike excitement. It's like Christmas Eve. He's so excited. And the thing that stuck out to me is, as he was standing there, he said, guys, I'm about to die and come back with new life. And we were just so excited. And I remember sitting in that moment, all the sacrifices. People talk about, hey, you know, as a missionary, you've got to give up a lot. And we do. Like, there's stuff we have to leave behind. But at the end of the day, seeing someone go from complete death to life is worth every sacrifice, worth everything we have to do. And God is working in our friend's life. It wasn't because I said some amazing sermon, or because I went down the Romans road, or whatever else you want to talk about. It's because the Holy Spirit was working in his life. And if we had not been there, he would not have had the opportunity to know the good news of Jesus. He was ready to hear the gospel. And that's what God is calling us to do. I think sometimes we overcomplicate the call of God. We overcomplicate go into all the world and reach the gospel. We feel unprepared. But at the end of the day, we have the Holy Spirit. God goes before us. We're partnering with the Holy Spirit to reach people. And I want to encourage you guys, to come with us. I know it's a difficult area. We aren't in that actual country. We do stay in some safe places. But I want to encourage you guys to step out. What is God calling you to do to reach the unreached? To go where people haven't gone before? You have so much. God has given you so much. And for us, who much is given, much is required. And I want to encourage you to go, to be a part of going to Alaska, doing all these things, getting a chance to go. And when you get a chance to stand face to face with someone who is unreached and you share the gospel for the first time, it becomes real. It's the difference between knowing that cancer is bad and having someone you love have cancer. Your response is different. Your actions are different. And I want to encourage you, what you've heard today, and I pray it's not just emotions, I pray that it is the Holy Spirit, that when you go in your times of prayer, with your times with Jesus, that he brings to your mind the unreached, that it comes into your heart every day that there are people that need to hear about Jesus and that you can make a difference. And I want to encourage you guys, continue to partner with your church, give financially. Your church is amazing. They do so much for missions, but I don't want you to stop your obedience just at giving. I want you to give more. I want you to give your life. I want you to give your time in prayer. I'm not God. I can't tell you whether you're called to go. That's between you and God. But if God is laying on your heart to go, I want to encourage you to answer that call. Meet with me outside. I'll be glad to talk to you about how it's done. But I want to encourage you to follow what God is calling you to do. And please continue to pray for me, for my wife, but more importantly, for the people that we reach. We cannot make a difference in their lives, but the Holy Spirit can through your prayers. This country, there's a lot of stuff going on. I can't say too much about it, but if you look at the news, there's a lot of stuff going on. Be praying for them. Pray that God's will would be done in our country. Our people are persecuted. They are, even the people who aren't believers, they're mistreated. They're treated terribly. Our government's not that great, and we're believing that God is going to do something in there. But we do believe that more than anything, more than governments, more than militaries, more than anything, it's the real hope and the real answer for our people is the Holy Spirit, and it is the gospel. So I want to encourage you guys, please pray for us. Also, just really quickly, we do have one prayer request that we do have. We have a friend, he's a partner of ours, and he's having difficulty. He's been in prison before as a Christian, and he's having difficulty getting a visa in the country we're in. And just be praying that God opens the door for him to be, I'll just call him Adam. Be praying that God opens that door, because he's following Jesus. He's committed to reaching his own people, and we're just praying that God would open up the door for him to be able to stay, work with us. We're a little bit selfish, but wherever he goes, that he's able to find safe space, a safe place to be, and continue to reach people for the gospel. So I wanted to say thank you guys for having me here. I really love getting to be here and spend time with y'all. But thank you so much, Pastor. I really appreciate it.
Worship team, if you guys would come. Hey, if you couldn't stand right, I can't call his name, so would you come stand right? Just, yeah, Adam, would you come stand right here? If you can imagine, and you saw the region of the world that he's going to serve, and I told him this before, church, taking your new bride and your new baby, going to live in that part of the world. I never really truly understand the missionary call. I don't. And I'm thankful. And he is just representative of a number of young couples and young people who are going into the most challenging parts of the world because they care. All right. So we want to pray. First of all, we want to pray. And I'm just going to ask anyone that might just feel led, moved, would you just come stand with our friend this morning, and we're just going to pray not only for a healthy baby coming up, but just come on with some others, but their transition to the field of their calling. We're going to pray for that greater field of work. We're going to just pray for fruitful ministry. So would you pray with us this morning? Lord, we thank you for our friends who feel a call. This man and his wife, they represent many that feel a call to that area. Lord, we see it on the news. Lord, it is a dark and broken area. Lord, it is an area that is in desperate need of the gospel, Lord. And they haven't rejected you. They've just never heard. And there's more openness, Lord, to just the seed of the gospel. And we realize that. We pray over them today. We pray over this couple. We pray over their teams. God, that you would anoint them. Lord, you would help them to raise their money, Lord, and return expeditiously, Lord, to this land. And we pray. We pray that you would guide their steps. We pray that you would give favor. You would give resource to them in this consequential area. Lord, we pray as they're building teams, Lord, that others would feel the call. Young people would feel a call to join, Lord, this great movement, Lord. Lord, you love everyone, Lord, equally. Lord, your heart is broken in this area as well. And I pray, Lord, for this seed to be planted, Lord, the gospel, Lord, to be communicated, Lord, in a powerful way. And Lord, we pray today, God, that you would do something significant in that area. Lord, governments say no, but the Holy Spirit says yes. And Lord, we pray through gospel encounters and the internet, Lord, and digital means, Lord, that you would invade that place with your love and the gospel. And we give you thanks, Lord. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Generations Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message today and pray God's greatest blessings on you. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.